The following program is a paid commercial announcement. The sponsor is responsible for its content, which Talk Radio 790 KBC does not necessarily endorse or support.
I want to welcome everyone to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I am Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today I am here to be the managing partner of your life. This show is about law and life. And no, we are not a hardcore legal show like some of our competitors on other stations. We are not going to talk about code sections that much, or precedential law, or contract clauses. We're going to talk about law and how it affects you, and life, and how that affects you. Gervie's Law is a play on Murphy's Law, and that's that law that says that everything that can go wrong will go wrong. But on Gervie's Law, we're going to talk about everything that can go wrong can also go right. We're turning negatives into positives, and we've got a great show for you today. In fact, we've got some exciting news right here on Gervie's Law. There are at least a few reasons to be excited, and I'm talking about what's happening to Gervie's Law. Gervie's Law is moving to a new time. It's going to be Saturday, right in the middle of the afternoon at 2 p.m., 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. starting next week. So you're going to have to tune us in next week from 2 to 3, and we are going to be taking your calls. We are going to be live on the air taking your calls, and we won't be on at 5 p.m. anymore, so now you can listen to us in the car when you're stuck in the middle of traffic on Saturday afternoon on the 405, and you have nowhere to go but into the car in front of you. The show will be taking calls. I am so excited about that. The only thing I have to do is memorize the phone number so I can give it to you. It's been taking some time, and I just want all my clients to know at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn that I am not cutting back on their cases. I'm working really hard. I will have the number memorized by next week. I think it's 800-222-5222, but we'll check on that. And I will give you an update next Saturday at 2 o'clock. So, what's the other exciting news that Gervie's Law has? Well, I have to tell you. We have a winner of the co-host competition. That's right. We had a competition that stretched all over the country. We went to every nook and cranny to find the greatest co-host for me, Alan Gervie. And, you know, unfortunately, the Donald Duck interpreter or imitator, that didn't work out. And the UFC fighter, we got rid of him, too. But we have the best co-host that I could ever hope for, and that is none other than Carrie Kasem. We have Carrie Kasem, the well-known radio star who has a show right now with Nikki Sixx called Sixth Sense, and, of course, is the number one daughter of Casey Kasem, and we've talked to Carrie on our show before. And Carrie, I am just so happy to have you here as my new co-host. Welcome.
I am so honored you picked me. I mean, I've been listening to your show. I love your show. I love the premise, turning the negative into a positive, because that's what I've had to do with my life, you know, recently in the last 6 months. And you saw that and you said, hey, I want you to come and tell your story on my show. And I did, and it was just perfect. It was exactly what your show is about. And I'm just so honored. Thank you.
And we have not given up your fight, because we are turning a negative into a positive. I understand you're going up to Sacramento to talk to some politicians.
That's right. I'm lobbying for the bill, the visitation bill that I talked about on the show a couple weeks ago. And, yeah, I so far we haven't come up against much opposition, but I still need to get up there and talk to everybody and tell them, look, this is what's happening. And there's no opposition, first of all, because it's fiscally it's not going to hurt anybody. There's no money involved here. And it's just a common sense law.
It really is. And we are very supportive of it right here on Gervie's Law. And for those of you who don't know, Carrie has been unable to see her father, who is sick, and his current wife has blocked her and her brother and sister from seeing Casey Kasem. And we are hoping that this law will be passed so she will have some rights.
And, you know, breaking news.
New news.
I haven't told anybody. You know, she did sign behind, you know, it was not court order. She signed a visitation agreement with my brother and sister, which I said, why would you sign an agreement that's not court ordered with somebody who goes back on her word consistently?
Right.
What did she do? Went back on her word. She hid my dad. She took him from one hospital, hid him. TMZ found him, called us up and said, this is where your dad is.
You know, that's a principle that I follow, and that is when someone has shown in my cases that they are being dishonest and they aren't treating me and my clients fairly, I take them to court because I can't trust them. And it sounds like it's the same situation. People wonder, why are you trying so many cases, Alan? And I'm going to say, you know what? If I don't have a relationship with an attorney or with another client who I trust, I'm not going to give them the opportunity to screw me again.
Right, right. And that's exactly what I told my brother and sister. But, you know, I understand they wanted to see my dad. They did anything to see my dad, including sign an agreement so the conservatorship and the durable power would go away. And
well, good luck in Sacramento. I am so proud of you for what you are doing for a fantastic cause. And I noticed that Nikki Six got married recently. Did you see that?
Yep. You're very funny.
Yes. Your partner married Courtney.
Yes.
Who I happen to live next door to Courtney. I told you that.
And you knew one of his bandmates in his other band, 6 a.m., DJ Ashba.
DJ Ashba. Yeah. We live next door to each other in Woodland Hills, and Courtney lived there as well. It was one happy family, so I wish Nikki the best, and I hope that everything works out well for both of those young kids.
Young. yeah, one of them is. I'm kidding. I always tease him about his age.
You can tease him because he's not here right now.
That's right. He's way far away on his honeymoon.
Okay, well, I hope he's enjoying his honeymoon. And I do know Courtney, and she seems very sweet.
She is.
Now, we're going to talk about our show today because we have another very serious subject that we're talking about today. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my personal background with this subject. We are talking today about vaping and e-cigs. For those of you who don't know, who have been sleeping under a rock, we're going to talk about the legislation, the LA City Council's recent ban, which hasn't been, I believe, approved by Eric Garcetti, the mayor, yet, on vaping and e-cigs in places where regular tobacco smoking takes place. And we have some incredible, incredible guests today who know so much about this subject that you're really going to want to listen. But let me tell you about my background, because I have to give you this disclaimer. I really need to tell you. When I was 7 years old, I was a chartered member of the group called GASP, Group Against Smokers Pollution. As a seven-year-old, I used to walk around with a little button on my T-shirt, my Donald Duck T-shirt, and it said GASP, Group Against Smokers Pollution. I found out later in life that I have a condition called bronchial asthma, and it doesn't affect me when I'm playing hockey or when I'm playing baseball or football, but I can smell cigarettes from the next state. I'll walk into a building and I'll know exactly where someone is smoking, and I start coughing and choking. It's sad, but I'm used to it. In fact, when my first job, when I was with the Leo Burnett Advertising Agency in Chicago, I was assigned to the Philip Morris account, and I refused. I flat out said, I am not going to work for Philip Morris. Give me another account. And fortunately, they gave me the Wilson Sporting Goods account, which was right up my alley. But, Carrie, tell me, you have personal stories about this subject. Tell me a little bit about what you've gone through.
Well, my grandma, my father's side, Grandma Helen, Situ, she was a 2-3 pack a day smoker, and she got lung cancer, and we watched her die, and it was the most painful, scary thing, especially being a little kid. I was a kid at the time.
Right.
And not being able to recognize her. She's always the, you know, energetic, sweet, let me cook you something, let me give you something, always, you know, running to you and hugging you. And I remember there was a time we saw her when she was just getting sick, and we go back and forth to Michigan, to a few months in, 4 or 5 months after she had been diagnosed, and we walk into the room, and she had no hair, and she couldn't breathe very well, and she was almost had this bluish tint to her, and she couldn't breathe. And it was so hard to watch that. My grandma, on my mother's side, smoked 2 to 3 packs a day. And watching her die of cancer was awful, and she couldn't breathe either. She didn't get it, though,
wow,
directly in her lungs. It was breast cancer that moved everywhere, but she still couldn't breathe before that.
So you've seen it firsthand, what cigarette smoking can do to a person and how it can end their life.
Yeah.
Now we have to talk a little bit about the e-cigs and the vaping, and you have a lot of experience with that. When we come back, we're going to speak with John Cameron and Phil Damon, and you won't want to miss what they're going to say about e-cigs and cigarette smoking. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We'll be right back.
I wake when the night.
Now more useful than ever. KABC.com. Constantly updated news, podcasts, and good stuff you'll want to see. Miss something from Live at 9 with Peter Tilden? Download the podcast right now on the homepage. All this and more at KABC.com.
The Amputation Prevention Center at Valley Presbyterian Hospital is dedicated exclusively to healing wounds and preserving at-risk limbs. If you or a loved one suffer from diabetes and have been offered an amputation, call the Amputation Prevention Center now. Our facility embraces the philosophy of preventing amputations and brings new hope to patients suffering from complications of diabetes. With an interdisciplinary team of experts using innovative technologies, we offer our patients the highest level of service and best chances for limb salvage. Contact us at 877-220-FOOT to get information on how to prevent limb loss or learn more at valleypress.org. We're now accepting local, national, and international patients. Call 877-220-3668 or visit valleypress.org and learn more about the Amputation Prevention Center at Valley Presbyterian Hospital.
Don't miss Gervie's Law at its new time, Saturdays at 2 p.m. Attorney Alan Gervie and host Carrie Kasem take a fresh look at the law, turning negatives into positives. That's Gervie's Law, Saturdays at 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
KABC. Traffic first on the boards. News around the clock 24/7. Only here.
KABC.
We are back right here on Gervie's Law. You're listening to Talk Radio 790 KABC, and I am here with my co-host, Carrie Kasem, and she was telling us before the break about how she has had personal tragedies with respect to her grandmothers who were smokers and unfortunately died of cancer. Carrie, I feel for you. Tell us how that has impacted your life and what you're doing about it now, trying to turn a negative into a positive.
Well, I've been with my boyfriend for about a year and a half now, and we were friends before, and he was a very heavy smoker for about 5 years. And I wouldn't date him because he was a smoker, and that was never... that was never said. I never actually directly said, you have to stop smoking before I date you.
But you never kissed him.
No, we stayed friends for many years. And he then got on a vaporizer, or an e-cig, which I don't even like that term because it says cigarette, which
right.
is not.
What is a vaporizer?
What is it? It basically, you're breathing in water, propylene glycol, and vegetable glycerin. If you want to add the nicotine, you can. Now, there are other e-cigs that add other ingredients, which I don't like. And that's a lot of time where you hear, oh, I got sick from this, or, oh, it's not good. Yeah, if you're adding in other ingredients that are not meant to be there, it can make you sick. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the good parts of vaping. And what happened was he was such a heavy smoker and was not going to quit until the vaporizer came out. He was smoking vapor for 8 months and got off everything.
Really?
Completely. And his twin sister, same thing.
Is there any nicotine in the vapes?
Yes, you can go from a very high amount of nicotine, like 36, down to as much as 2 or 3 milligrams.
What about with your boyfriend?
He started at about 18, went down to 12, went to 6, and then got off.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
And, you know, we're going to talk all about this today because there are some controversies, of course, with e-cigs and vaping, and we've got some experts with us. In fact, our first guest is Phil Damon, and he is the president of SFATA, which is Smoke-Free Alternative Trade Association. Phil Damon is also the founding member of Damon & Associates, a law firm with offices in Los Angeles, Boston, and Philadelphia. He is a lawyer who practices with a lot of different clients, and he is an expert on these issues. Phil, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you both for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, I want to ask you first off, why are there so many people against e-cigs and vaping?
I think that's actually a bit of a misconception, and I understand why people think there are so many people who are against it. The folks who are against it certainly get a lot of media attention, and I think that those voices perhaps seem a little bit louder than the quieter voices that the trade association that I work with uses and has been using for many years, both here in Los Angeles, across the country, at the federal level in Washington, D.C., internationally with the EU Parliament, and in other countries, to make sure that the stigma of smoking is something that can be separated from what we know about vaping. And even as Carrie pointed out before, the nomenclature is really hard for people to understand, as is the products, as are the products themselves. Because, quite frankly, when people see something that emits a vapor,
right,
they often confuse it with smoke. And the ills of tobacco and the harm caused by the tobacco industry have made such a stigma for people who are looking to have an alternative that it's very hard to separate the two. And we're sensitive to that. We understand that.
Now, Phil, you probably have seen more research on this than most anyone because of what you do. Tell us, from the research you've seen, are there harmful effects to vaping?
Everything that we've seen to date does not suggest that there's any harm in vaping. And of course, as Carrie said as well, there's a variance in the products, and there are hundreds of products on the market from different manufacturers, importers, resellers. So it's very hard, and there are distinctions between the products. So if you have something that you pour your own e-liquid into, which is a flavored solution that commonly contains nicotine, but many people use it for just the flavoring without any nicotine at all, would have 0 milligrams of nicotine. Those products seem to be very, very safe. There are other products that we also think are very safe that are what we call closed-tank cigar-like products, the ones that look like cigarettes as opposed to ones that look like vaping devices. This technology was invented in 1963 by a gentleman by the name of Herbert Gilbert, and the technology really hasn't changed that much since 1963. And quite frankly, they do appear to be very, very safe. We have no studies that would indicate otherwise. And there's a great study from Drexel University in Philadelphia that tested these materials, that broke down the constituent parts, and showed conclusively that these products pose no threat to humans whatsoever.
And I want to talk a little bit about nicotine. Because when you say that, people instantly think tobacco, cigarettes, bad. And as I'm a shop owner now, you know, you came to Good Vapor Beverly Hills, which I'm so happy about. And I, you know, I sat down with you. And
wait a second, Carrie. Do you have to give us a disclaimer here? You're a shop owner of Good Vapor, which is a fantastic place.
Yes.
I went to the website and I was just in awe. But tell us a little bit so that everyone knows that you're not just coming out of this from, you know, anywhere, but there's some specific interest that you have.
Very much so. I opened up a vaping shop, the alternative to smoking, so people could try the alternative. Now, you can't really say it's healthier or it's better or it's a stop smoking device. It's an alternative to smoking, which I think is healthier. I think, personally, my opinion. But nicotine, a lot of people think nicotine bad, bad, bad. You know, they give nicotine to Alzheimer's patients. They give nicotine for people with Parkinson's, people with depression. It's, you know, and can you talk a little bit more about nicotine? Because I know you are an expert on this.
Sure. As Carrie said, nicotine is used for many different purposes. It's an alkaloid. It's found in many plants, including eggplants, tomatoes, potatoes. It's found in some roots out in the Australian outback, which people might be able to harvest to produce nicotine used for electronic cigarettes and vaporizing products. So nicotine gets a pretty bad rap, as we know, because it's so closely associated with tobacco use, especially combustible tobacco use. And what makes nicotine very, very positive in many ways, like caffeine, is that it is a stimulant. And it has a lot of positive uses. Like anything else, you should probably consult your physician and you should use things in moderation. But nicotine in and of itself is really not the problem. It's what happens when you wrap it up in a tobacco cigarette. And a lot of tobacco companies have addictive properties, such as MAOI inhibitors that they put into tobacco cigarettes for many years. That, of course, is a stimulant as well. And that's very different than what you see in a vaping product.
All right. So what you're talking about here is tobacco manufacturers. As soon as you say that to me, Phil, I immediately think of the tobacco lobby. And when we come back after this message, we are going to talk about the politics behind e-cigs versus tobacco. And Phil and Carrie have given us a good example of the difference of what we're looking at with the nicotine in the e-cig versus the tobacco in the regular cigarettes. We're going to talk about why that's controversial and what the tobacco lobby is doing to try and prevent e-cigs from being all over the place where people have no prohibitions or are protected vapors. When we come back, we're going to have with us John Cameron, and you're not going to want to miss John. He really is something else and knows his way around this subject. He's also, by the way, the brother of James Cameron, the director, and also a CEO of SafeSix. So when we come back, we're going to talk to John and Phil. Sounds like the John and Phil Show, right here on Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Great oil and filter specials at CarQuest Auto Parts. Get 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a CarQuest red oil filter for just $19.99 after mail-in rebate. Upgrade the Pennzoil high mileage oil and a CarQuest red oil filter for $21.99 after rebate. Or 5 quarts of Pennzoil platinum full synthetic oil and a Bosch premium plus oil filter for $32.99. Now through March 29th at participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores.
Ladies, are any of these symptoms familiar? Hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability, or weight gain? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. Ambrin can help you balance hormones and relieve your hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability, and other symptoms of menopause. And now you can finally lose weight. Yes, even that stubborn body fat with Ambrin Weight Loss. Call now and ask how you can get your free sample of Ambrin Weight Loss. Call 1-800-424-7690. That's 1-800-424-7690.
It's the Sage Larry Elder.
Let's talk a little bit about the school lunch program that Michelle Obama has been involved in. You know, Michelle Obama's gig on fighting obesity, as if it's the federal government's business. And so what they've done is they've changed the school lunches to the point where kids don't like them. Tina is in Claremont.
The thing is, they would give them things like soy peanut butter.
Tina, what is soy peanut butter?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to make him eat it.
I don't even want to know what that is.
Larry, before I go, can I tell you? You don't know it, but you are my boyfriend.
Really?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Tina. Steve is in L.A. Steve, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Larry?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, you're not my boyfriend. I'm married. But
you know, Steve, it's legal now in California. You and I can have a thing in California. It's legal.
Yeah, well, anyway, moving on.
Miss a day, miss a lot. The Sage, Larry Elder, weekdays 3 to 6. Talk Radio 790, KABC. Get news, weather, sports, markets, and traffic first on the boards.
Real informative.
Over here.
Talk Radio 790, KABC.
We are back right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I am Alan Gervie, and you are listening to Gervie's Law. We are talking about e-cigs and smoking. And, you know, what is interesting is we were really excited to have with us John Cameron. And I spoke about him earlier when he was supposed to be here. But we're looking at our watches. He said he was going to be here, and we're hoping that John is okay because he hasn't shown up, and he is such a pivotal person in this whole e-cig arena. John is the guy who was actually Canadian, just like me, and went into the Marine Corps, the American Marine Corps, which I'm very proud that I would know a Canadian who actually is a traitor. But
that's terrible, Alan.
I'm just kidding. I'm so proud of our Marine Corps. Canadians don't have much over there because they don't really need it. But, you know, John has been involved with e-cigs for so long, and he is involved in a controversy with SafeSig, which is a company who he's now CEO of. apparently the previous owners or the founders of SafeSig, Rob Deke and his brother John Deke and Lula Malone, his sister, are upset with John because they think that he's taken over the country, maybe the company. But, you know, my personal feeling on that, and I really like to ask John about it, is if he was given the reins to run this company, then why are the Deeks so upset? They shouldn't have given him the reins in the first place if they're not happy with what happened to the company. That's a simple legal principle. You know, I talk about legal principles all the time. When I was a kid, I had principles. And I don't know why, but I refused to smoke cigarettes. All my friends did. You know, I mentioned earlier in the show that I talked about being a member of GASP, Group Against Smokers Pollution. Then when I was a teenager, I actually just refused to smoke a cigarette. And I remember all my friends smoked. And, you know, after a school dance at like 10 o'clock after the dance ended, they would all go to someone's house and smoke cigarettes. And they used to take me home. I don't know how they had their big sister drop me off, or some of them drove when they were 15 or 16 in Canada. And they'd say, we're going to listen to loud music. I always knew that was the cue that they were going to go and smoke. And I would go home and I'd have to end up watching Perry Mason reruns at 10 o'clock because I was not allowed to be with them while they were smoking. So I guess what they called me back then was a suck, which I guess in American terms is like a nerd. But I don't feel bad about the fact that I didn't smoke. Carrie, have I missed anything not being a smoker and being so violently against smoking?
No, I think it's great you didn't smoke. I was so bummed out when my brother started smoking. You know, watching both of our grandmas die that were 2-pack-a-day smokers is a horrible experience. And then to pick that up, it's so addictive. You can see people, your friends, your family members die in front of you, and you still pick up the cigarette. And I know people hate themselves for it, but a lot of people are missing, you know, when you want people to quit smoking, you get angry at them. You gotta quit smoking, you're gonna die. You forget to mention, it's extremely pleasurable, it feels wonderful, but you can still have that sensation with vaping, with picking up a vaporizer, with taking it, using an e-cigarette. And I'm going to say it, it's without the harmful effects. All the research right now is showing that it is healthier than a cigarette. Putting steam into your lungs. I'm just going to say it, it's common sense. Putting steam into your lungs rather than combustible smoke sounds a lot healthier to me.
Well, you know, Carrie, that's one thing that you say it, but I'm reading a quote from Los Angeles County Public Health Director Jonathan Fielding, who apparently said that vapors exhaled by e-cigarette users could contain particulate matter and potentially toxic chemicals. And he spoke before the L.A. City Council. We have Phil Damon here, who, of course, is the president of the Smoke-Free Alternative Trade Association, SFATA, and is the founding member of Damon & Associates. Phil, what do you say to that? Because there seems to be a disconnect from what Carrie is saying and from what Jonathan Fielding is telling the city councilors who are voting for a ban on e-cig vaping in public places.
Well, it's interesting. I think you said that Mr. Feller said the word may. It may be.
Right.
It may be lots of things, but there are actually lots and lots of studies that have been done all over the world, including one from Drexel University in Philadelphia, which shows quite the contrary. There are lots of folks who study this stuff that are very well informed, who have lots of empirical information and are continually monitoring and studying these things to make sure that they are safe. Nobody in this industry wants to ever, ever even have the appearance of impropriety, let alone actual harm to anybody.
Right.
So we take it very seriously as a responsible group of companies, and the Smoke-Free Alternative Trade Association has grown to almost 80 companies around the world. And we continually monitor this, we continually reach out, and the LA City Council, unfortunately, in one way was very insular in considering information. I think at the city council hearings that we've gone to, we noticed that the city attorney was given almost unlimited time to present his arguments in favor of this bill, while the industry and citizens who wanted to voice their opinion were given less than 60 seconds of time. It's inherently unfair. So what we did is we had a rally in Pershing Square last week so people could voice their opinions. But considering...
I was just going to say, Phil, because you made a really good point when you said may contain, and the quote is actually could contain. So, Carrie, I want to ask you, are you familiar with Pascal's wager?
I'm not.
Okay. Phil, do you know Pascal's wager?
I'm familiar with Pascal's wager.
All right, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about Pascal's wager. Pascal's wager talks about, and this is Pascal, of course, many, many years ago, and he talks about whether God exists or not. No one has proof that God exists, but there is, if God does exist, and you're not a believer in God, then you could be in big trouble in your afterlife.
Yeah.
And if God doesn't exist, then big deal. You didn't lose out. So you believed in God while you were alive, and he doesn't exist, or she doesn't exist, or it doesn't exist. Who cares? You probably had a better life anyway. But the key point on the wager is, if God does exist, and you don't believe in God, you may be in trouble. So this is what I'm thinking about right now, Phil. I'm thinking about if, and we don't know, if vaping is not harmful. We know that tobacco smoking is harmful. Isn't that true?
Very true.
So why not take Pascal's wager? Why don't we make it, you know, the John Cameron wager? The John Cameron wager is, if vaping is harmful, then, well, you were smoking anyway, so that's going to be harmful. If it's not harmful, if vaping is not harmful, why not put your money on vaping rather than smoking tobacco?
I'm gonna just cut in here. He's looking at Phil.
Phil is just shaking his head, saying, "What the heck did you just say?"
No, Alan, I understand what you're saying. The problem is that as businesses and as our government has a duty to protect its citizens, we can't really take that wager. We have to make sure these products are safe. And as much as we know that tobacco, which has been studied for the better part of the last 60 years, is terribly, terribly harmful, we always want to make sure that we're not gambling with people's lives. And here, as Carrie said before, it's a very common sense argument, so common sense that even the new leadership at the FDA, through Mitch Zeller, the head of the Center for Tobacco Products and Policy, came out and said on an NPR interview a few months ago that if everybody who was using a combustible cigarette switched to a personal electronic vaporizing device, and I'm paraphrasing Mr. Zeller here, but his comment essentially was that if everyone had switched, of course they would be reducing the likelihood of harm by tobacco consumption. For every CDC report that talks about tobacco harm, for every U.S. Surgeon General report that talks about tobacco harm, no one will disagree that tobacco and tobacco consumption is one of our nation's and our world's greatest problems. It is common sense that this alternative, which is wildly popular, is in step with that goal of reducing the harms of tobacco consumption. So if the FDA recognizes that and is trying to work with the industry, and we meet with them frequently, we meet with the Office of Management and Budget at the White House, if these thought leaders are recognizing how this technology is not tobacco and is a helpful alternative to people, or at least has the possibility to be helpful, then I would encourage the LA City Council and other cities around the country to do their research as well, to continue to engage with us, let us communicate with you, and let us help educate you and share information so we may all understand what this technology is. On a positive side, the LA City Council almost passed an exemption that would have allowed vape products in bars. The vote was a very close vote for that exemption, and it failed by 2 votes.
Wow.
That shows that the LA City Council also understands that these products probably are not as harmful as they think they are, but they're scared, and we're very sensitive to that fear. It will take a long time to overcome that fear, and if we are not sensitive and engaging with them, we won't be able to overcome it. But if it's so harmful, it's unlikely they would even come that close to allowing it in a bar.
Phil, you know, I just want to thank you for injecting a little bit of legal analysis into a law show. Because there I went, running off my mouth, and you took it to you said what needed to be said from the legal perspective. You truly are a lawyer, and I appreciate that. I'm not sure about me. Carrie, let me ask you this. Do you believe that because the government makes so much money from taxing cigarettes and the tobacco lobby is so powerful that these are a couple of reasons why e-cigs have met this kind of opposition in politics?
Sure. I mean, I'm just going to go out on a limb. No, I'm kidding. You know, of course it is. You have the tobacco industry is extremely powerful with a lot of money. And, you know, it's a business as well. And if somebody's cutting into your business, you're going to do everything you can to stop it. I understand that. But what this is doing is detrimental to people's health. And it's not okay. And for people to stand up in front of city council and have no idea what they're talking about, when people say, oh, you know, this vaporizer contains this kind of stuff and this kind of stuff, and they're making it taste like candy so kids use it, just all this misinformation that is absolute BS, and I'm going to say that, it's BS. There's a lot of people are scared of it because it looks like smoke, because when you are vaping, this white vapor comes out, and it's like, you know what it's like? I'll tell you what this is like. I use an inhaler. Once in a while, I get a little asthma, right? And I use that inhaler, I take a couple puffs, and I blow out again. That's like somebody saying, oh my gosh, you know, there's toxins in the air because you just use an inhaler in front of me. That's steroids. Get that away from me. How long have you been using inhalers? How many people use inhalers? Nobody has said anything about that. What about fog machines? Why aren't those banned? Why, you know, in concerts and in bars, or, you know, why aren't those banned? Those could be possibly worse for you, but we're...
I don't know that the fog machine lobby is as powerful as the tobacco lobby.
You're probably right.
I remember back in the day when we had those dances and all my friends were going out to smoke their cigarettes. I was the president of my high school, actually, and I was having lots of problems with the fog machine because it just wouldn't work properly.
That's right. They don't, do they?
But, you know, there's a source that says that the cumulative revenue of U.S. tobacco taxation exceeded $32 billion in 2010. Does that have anything to do with this, Phil?
Well, I think there's an inference that I certainly can't confirm. Others may speculate upon, and I don't know if it does or doesn't. But to me, it's really a red herring, because the real issue here is about having an innovative industry that is growing and creating jobs for Americans and, quite frankly, in other countries, that's doing very well. It actually is the embodiment, essentially, of the American dream and the small business owner's dream.
What about the jobs that smoking, the tobacco companies? You know, you talk about Philip Morris or Reynolds Tobacco Company, some of the other large tobacco companies. They must have thousands of employees. You want to put them out of business?
My goal today is not to put anybody out of business, but to provide an alternative for people to tobacco. And quite frankly, as we see from many industry reports, a lot of tobacco companies are realizing that this particular device and product as part of their portfolios is good for their bottom line as well. So perhaps it may be 50, 60, 100 years, but maybe tobacco companies will really become technology companies, and they are investing very significantly in these devices. I actually did pull that quote from Mitch Zeller, because I would hate to paraphrase the government when I could just quote them. And
Wow, technology is amazing. You're on your cell phone right now, and you're going to quote.
Mitch Zeller says, if a current smoker, otherwise unable or unwilling to quit, completely substituted all of the combusting cigarettes that they smoked with an electronic cigarette at the individual level, that person would probably be significantly reducing their risk. And that's Mitch Zeller from the Center for Tobacco Products, which is part of the FDA. It's very forward-thinking because, again, our government's job at the FDA is really to prevent harm. So it's a very positive sign that after many years of speaking with the FDA and the government, that they're beginning to look at some of the science and some of the studies to say, okay, we want to make sure these products are safe. We don't think it's necessarily appropriate to roll them right up like tobacco. What are they? And let's work together so that we can communicate as to what they are and how we can help people.
All right, let me ask you this for both you, Carrie, and Phil. People who aren't that familiar with vaping or e-cigs, maybe they haven't experienced it, they haven't been with someone who has actually been vaping, tell me what they should expect. Do you think that the public would be upset? You know, Carrie, you've made your points very well about that, you know, like an inhaler or whatever, but do you think someone out there who's listening today would say, I don't want anyone vaping when I'm eating?
Well, then that's, you know, then you ask them not to vape. You know, people used to do that with cigarettes. Hey, do you mind not smoking while I'm eating? Before it was banned, you know, I would do that too. I mean, you could remember when there was a smoking section, non-smoking section, or when they, you know, you were kind of mixed. You can say that to people. But, you know, if anybody's around vapor, you know, you either cannot smell it or it smells delicious. So those are the two things. If you are saying, I don't want somebody vaping, it's because you've never been around vapor before. There's one quote I really like, and I found it. Now I can't find it again. But hold on. It's on my Pinterest.
All right. You got it?
Yes, it's right here. It says, Restricting e-cigarettes when you're not a smoker is like saying, I'm not a diabetic, but I don't use insulin shots, so nobody else should either. That's exactly what it's like. It's like, wait a second. You're telling smokers that have an alternative that's possibly much healthier, and I'm going to say it, it's healthier. You're telling people, hey, you know what? I don't really know anything about this, so I'm afraid, and I don't have my facts straight, so let's ban it.
You know, I think the bottom line is regardless of what someone is going to think about it, if they're in the presence of vaping, it's got to be better than cigarette smoking.
Again, I think from a legal perspective and also as a trade association, we always make sure that our constituents are aware of a particular case that may or may not stand for the proposition that you should not make health or cessation claims. Common sense may dictate otherwise, and I think it's important that as a culture we come up with some rules of etiquette both in our shops, our streets, our parks, so that people who may not want to be around vapor have some rights as well, and they may be scared. And until this can be more fleshed out in the court of public opinion, let alone legal courts, we have to be sensitive to that. And one of the things that we do on the trade association side is to go to the government with what we think are appropriate regulations, GMPs, as well as rules for marketing and advertising. And one of the things that we were talking about is if you're in a restaurant, what should that look like? Who should be allowed to use what there? Some of these products have great plumes of vapor. Some are completely odorless, some you wouldn't even know, you don't see anything at all. So there can be classifications that can say, in our restaurant, we allow a vapor of a certain level, and we allow a scented vapor. And another restaurant says, no, we don't allow that. It just requires more thought.
That makes a lot of sense, and, you know, it's interesting. You have really, Phil, chipped in and pinch hit really well for John Cameron. Unfortunately, he didn't make it here. We're going to find out where he is, and hopefully he's okay. He has a lot to say on this issue, and we'll probably have him back when our show goes live next week. He won't be back next week, but every Saturday at 2 o'clock, don't forget to turn into Curvy's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We are going to take a short break, and we'll talk more with Phil Damon, and we're going to bring on Max McFarlane, who is the owner of Good Vapor in Hollywood. That's at goodvaporshop.com. And again, if you want to look at the shop that Carrie's involved with, that's goodvaporonline.com, goodvaporonline.com. Check it out during the break, and we will be right back.
First.
The motion is adopted.
Get it passed.
A whopping 41 states are battling widespread outbreaks.
Get to the point news.
There's only one group to blame for the continued suffering of these innocent victims.
790 KABC.
As a home buyer in today's fast-paced real estate market, you need a competitive edge. You need an advantage that helps your offer stand out from the rest. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I'm excited to tell you how to get just the edge you're looking for as a home buyer. This brand new program is called Mortgage First, and it's exclusively from Quicken Loans. With Mortgage First, the name really says it all. Unlike a pre-approval, we'll verify your assets, income, and credit to underwrite you up front, giving you the upper hand on the competition before you even start shopping. As a strong, confident buyer, you can stay focused on finding the right place for you and your family, knowing you're approved by Quicken Loans. To learn more about Mortgage First, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Restrictions apply. Rate, terms, and conditions may change until final loan approval. This is not an offer to lend. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
On the air, online, and on iHeartRadio, we are Talk Radio 790 KABC, LA's first.
Working on your brakes? CarQuest Auto Parts has everything you need to do the job right, including great values, like CRC, non-chlorinated brake clean, in the 14-ounce can. Buy one at regular price, get the second one free after mail-in rebate. See store for details, now through March 29th at participating CarQuest Auto Parts locations, or visit CarQuest.com. Great people, great products, great prices.
Go in to CarQuest and roll on.
It is Southern California's best rock. It's got it.
95.5. KLOS. If it's live and local, it's Talk Radio.
790.
KABC.
We are back right here on Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC, and we are talking about e-cigs and vaping. We've had an incredible show, just heard some incredible, important information that I think is essential to everyone's health. We're talking with Phil Damon right now, and Phil is the president of the Smoke-Free Alternative Trade Association, and he's also the founding member of Damon & Associates, LLC, which is a law firm in Los Angeles, Boston, and Philadelphia. Phil, tell us a little bit about what SFATA does.
So SFATA is the world's largest trade association that services businesses and business interests of those in the vaping community. So our membership spans the globe, includes vaporizing manufacturers, technologists, inventors, certainly many shops across the country that need some help, because we thought several years ago it was very important for the business community to show that they are corporate citizens who are very responsible and to continue to engage and educate legislators around the country and the world as to what this technology is and what it's not, so that it's not regulated inappropriately or disproportionately and harshly, because that would stigmatize the industry, the users, and it really would just drive people back to smoking as opposed to having the alternative of vaping and really knowing what these vape products are.
That makes sense. Now, Phil, if anyone wants to get a hold of you or SFATA, what's the best way to do that?
The best way to get a hold of me is to contact me via our law firm. My number directly at my desk is 617-221-2727. You can also contact SFATA at info@SFATA.org. Can also be reached at 617-221-3737 is the main line to our office.
And they can visit the websites?
Sure.
Okay. That's great. Now, I have with me and Carrie right now, and they're sitting together looking so cuddly, actually not, but Max McFarland. We're really happy to have you, Max, because you are the owner of Good Vapor. So you have personal experience. You've been through this. You've had the stores in Hollywood, and there's also a franchise in Beverly Hills, I understand, and it's growing leaps and bounds as I speak. Oh. Max, tell me, first of all, welcome to Gervie's Law.
And thanks
you're,
for having me. Yeah.
We're glad to have you. Tell us how you personally got involved with vaping.
Well, you know, I got personally involved about 2 years ago. I smoked a pack a day for about 6.5 years. And my buddy actually had an electronic cigarette. And I said, hey, let me try that. And I loved it. From then on, I quit smoking.
Wow.
I went online. I bought maybe 4 or 5 of them. I got all different kinds to see how it was. And, you know, me and my business partner, Paul, we went and we were trying to figure, because I got him started on it too, and we were trying to figure out, we don't really want to buy stuff online because mm-hmm. it takes like 5 days to get here, like the liquids, because you know you get the liquids, all the different flavors and stuff, and you can't really try the flavors. And so we were like, well, this would be a really good idea if we just opened up a bar where we could have a ton of flavors, you could sit down, you could try all the different flavors and just get them right there and then. And you can get all the equipment and stuff, and so that's sort of how we started.
That's really an incredible story, and I've got to tell you, here on Gervie's Law, we talk about taking negatives and turning them into positives. How many people have you actually seen who have come in to Good Vapor and have quit smoking and are now vaping?
Well, we've had about 4,000 people that have come in and start and just thrown away their packs of cigarettes and come in and bought a vaporizer.
Wow, that's really incredible. Carrie, how did you get involved with Max and Good Vapor?
Through my boyfriend, Jesse. He was the one that started the vaporizer, and I would go into these shops with him, and they were packed, where you had to write your name down just to try the juice. So I said, this is amazing. I started researching it. It was the only business, I think, a year and a half to 2 years ago that went up 2,000%. And we're not in the, you know, we don't have the greatest economy right now. So to have a business like that, that helps people, possibly saving their lives, And I could open a business like this. So Jesse introduced me to Max McFarlane and Paul Van Cleef, and they had this successful business already in Hollywood. And I went into the store, and it didn't look like like a drug den or, it's a beautiful store that almost is more of a lounge to hang out in. And I said, I want this. This is what I want. And they said, hey, we'll help you. We'll show you how to run it. We'll teach you about all the technology and the juices. And, I said, we'll franchise.
If anyone goes online and actually looks at www.goodvaporshop.com, you will see pictures of what Carrie is talking about. And it really is incredible, again, to just look and see people having a good time, relaxing in a hip environment. It doesn't look smoky or dirty or anything like that. How did you, Max, come up with the idea to make it such a hip thing?
Well, my business partner and I, we'd always go out because it's like in a young Hollywood, and so we'd go out and we thought, we saw all these other vapor shops, and they were all sort of like futuristic, and it was kind of like cheap, and they only had like these little really cheap desks. It was really done like poorly, and so I was like, well, if we're going to make this cool and make it so someone wants to hang out, we got to make the place nice.
So that's how it all started. You just said, I'm just going to make a nice place, and people start coming.
Yeah.
If you build it, they will come.
Exactly. And so, yeah, we did a lot of promotion, but we really tried to make it super comfortable. And, we wanted to serve coffee and, make it so that people wanted to hang out and sit at the bar and, chat and hire all our guys, and they wanted to have fun and,
And the art exhibitions, too, we hang people's art once a month. We have an artist come in and put their art up on the walls, and they sell their art in there. And then they can also have, have a little gallery opening where they invite their friends. And it's a really nice, comfortable place. There's Wi-Fi, there's coffee, there's snacks, there's vapor. And we're the only store in Los Angeles that actually rents vaporizers. So if you want to come in, you don't want to buy it, there's a lot of hookah. This is a lot of hookah lounges. So instead of putting, smoke into your lungs, put vapor into your lungs. And so if you want, it's Good Vapor Beverly Hills and Good Vapor Hollywood. We both, can rent that. You can try it out. In fact, people will sit there for hours at the bar and just try all the flavors. Absolutely free. Absolutely free.
I think that people need to try it out. Max, as you sit here today, I'm sure there have been problems with the business, as every business has, but what's most rewarding?
Well, what's most rewarding is seeing the people come in and they're coughing, their skin is like leathery, and they look beat. And giving them an electronic cigarette and seeing them after 2 weeks, them breathing better, they look better, they look more awake, they don't have bags under their eyes. That's the most rewarding thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is such a great note to end the show on, because I'm picturing it right now, and I think if anyone wants to turn themselves around and they want to look better and feel better, at least try it. Go out to Good Vapor, which is at 5009 Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood, or in Beverly Hills. Carrie, where is it in Beverly Hills?
It's 9006 Wilshire Boulevard, and it's two blocks east of Doheny, right there on Wilshire, and there's parking in the back. We have our own parking lot, which is really great. So you can park right in the back for free, come right in, and test out any of our devices and our flavors for free.
And, of course, you can find the Good Vapor Shop on Wilshire Boulevard at 9006 Wilshire Boulevard, online at goodvaporonline.com. That's goodvaporonline.com. This has been really interesting. I know it's somewhat controversial, but we're hoping that we can turn negatives into positives, get more people involved with e-cigs, and stop the smokers' pollution of tobacco and make this place, this earth we live on, a cleaner, better place to live. This is Alan Gervey. Thanks so much for listening to Gervey's Law. I want to thank our producers, Erica Morrison and Debbie Payne, and, of course, David in the booth. Don't forget, next week we are live at 2 p.m. on Saturday, for Gervey's Law, and you need to call and speak to us. If you don't like anything that we've said, I want to hear from you. Next week, 2 o'clock on Gervey's Law, 790 KBC.